Welcome to another instalment of the Evolution Exchange podcast
to talk about the challenges and benefits of remote work. As usual, we're going to start off with a round of introductions. Vlad, are you okay to go first?
Yes, thank you for your invitation. I'm Vladimir. I'm an IT manager. Most of my experience tied to big production companies with millions of customers. But now I'm working in IT consulting company in Stockholm, Devalit. And I will be with you today, sharing my experience and discussing some topics. Yeah, I like tech stuff. I'm a tech guy. And I like when things are consistent, that it will help. That helps me win my management life as well. And I also have two big cats.
Amazing. Thank you. And then, over to your introduction.
Yes. Well, myself, Nanda. I'm originally from India. I've been living here in Gothenburg past 8 years. And currently, I work with Capgemini as a senior agile consultant. So my work involves pretty much within Scrum Master, Product Owner, and agile leadership. And I work with my client, Volvo Cars Corporation, here in Gothenburg as a support engineering manager. So my day-to-day work is to ensure the team's delivery and the overall product backlog management. And apart from my work, I'm more into journaling, and I like to spend some quality time with my two cats. So that's something about me, apart from my work. And yeah, thanks for the invitation.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Bennett here, a Nordics Managing Director here at Evolution. We're committed to doing recruitment in a different way that adds value to both our clients and candidates by providing you with amazing speakers and leading-edge discussions on what's going on in the tech scene at the moment. There are three reasons why you should contact me. If you would like to speak on a future podcast, if you are interested in hiring awesome tech, data, product or gaming freelancers for your business, or if you are looking for an exciting new organization to work with, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope to hear from you soon. Please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Amazing. Everyone, thank you so much for those introductions. Nanda, we're going to stick with you for your questions first. Would you like to give us a bit of an introduction to them, what are important to you about them, and then we can start the conversation?
Yes, as mentioned, for today's topic, it's quite interesting, and I would like to know the perspective of the pros and cons of remote work, and especially starting with what an organization should support an employee, especially during this transitions to a remote work. So that's something I would like to get started to know more about that.
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, of course, we have a lot of different dimensions here. We have it's widely known here that we have that mental health issue. It's extremely important. I think everyone faced it, everyone during the COVID and so on. We have some kind of infrastructure issues. And by infrastructure, I mean not just an IT infrastructure. When you have messengers, you have some kind of Zoom, Teams, mail, security concerns, everything. I mean also as infrastructure, because for us as IT people, HR is also in infrastructure that we exist in, and all this paperwork, HR related, everything also should be automated, optimized, maybe some kind of delivery of papers. And this work only if we are in the same city, but if we have totally remote team when there are different cities, it's a totally different challenge, because here we have lawyers as well, because if someone is living in another country, there are some legal stuff to be done, starting with agreements, starting with compensations, vacations, national holidays, everything. So being a remote team, it's not only in IT, it's all about organization, how whole organization can and will support it. And we've seen a lot of examples during the start of COVID, because it happened like accidentally. Everyone tried to adapt. some companies were more effective, but even those who weren't so effective back then, they quickly adapted, learned, and started to implement this. And right now, it's a totally different world. So we are not discussing right now, will remote exist or not? Can it exist or not? It's just happening. It is what it is. It's a fact. Company, if company wants to be effective, it must support remote work. If it doesn't want to support remote at all, it should. I would simplify and say it should have significantly higher budgets, because higher some team on site will be more expensive. People prefer to have some kind of freedom, not even freedom, I would say flexibility. And local markets, especially in Europe, they are, people markets, when you're hiring specialists, high-level specialists, they are very limited. I think, Nanda, you also know this issue when you can't have a lot of IT guys in Stockholm. It's just, it is what it is. Even here, which Sweden is considered a high-tech country, there is a big problem, big issue. So, I think a lot of things have to be done, and company management, and by management, I mean all kind of management, starting from CEO level, operations management, everything should understand that remote organization, it's not an IT team sitting in different cities. No, it's like whole organization. Everyone should support it, adapt to it, and understand how it works and what should be done to make it work. I don't know if I answered your question, but
No. I kind of agree with what you have mentioned. Well, when we speak about this remote work, I see two different perspectives. One is it's a remote team, and B, it's a remote way of working. So remote teams are the teams where the team members of the same project who have been working for so long years from a different locations. So they're connecting from different locations. So they are used to that mode of work. But where it comes to the remote way of working, that's where the team members who are working on the same project, who worked in person on the same location, but due to this pandemic situations, they've been pushed to a remote way of working. So the transition between a regular working mode to a remote way of working mode is the challenge that most of the IT or the industry has been facing. And I agree with what you've mentioned about the pros and cons. And for me, I think the biggest advantage when we started with this remote way of working is you have the flexibility, and you have your own work-life balance. Better work-life balance, you get time to spend with your families better, and the most important thing, the commute time to your work is reduced. And also one important thing, the need for a physical office space has been reduced, so there is not more investment is involved when it comes to this physical space for the office. And of course, you if a team needs this, you can hire from different parts of the world. So there is a global pool of talent occurs in during this hiring period. But when it comes to these advantages, there is also a flip side that I personally feel that because of this remote way of working, the social interactions, the power of proximity has been it's not been recognized well. So there is a lack of social interactions within the team. And of course, you are not sure of how well set up you have in your home when it comes to this remote way of working. So there are certain pros and cons, but ultimately what I feel is you have to have the flexibility, what you mentioned. So that's why I just wanted to add that point here.
I agree. I totally like this word flexibility, because sometimes and often it happens, people confuse flexibility with freedom. They say, I have freedom now, so I'm remote. And from management perspective, on my experience, it's not freedom at all. And management work becomes even more, it's harder. You will have to have better skills, you'll have to have better focus, and it's really harder. But yeah, as you said, we have cons, and this is like a new reality. Well, it means that new generation of managers will have to adapt to understand this. It's not freedom at all. It's just flexibility. It's like more, I don't know how to say it, but when you have a car with automatic gearbox and manual gearbox will let you do more things, but it's harder to handle it sometimes. And we should always remember that this remote job, it's something like gives you more opportunities, but will require from you more skills, more attention. You will have to be focused and be prepared. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think from organization perspective, the starting point for anything is to have a very clear documented guideline or a remote work policies, so that the people who are involved is pretty much communicated what's the expectation from the organization. So that's the starting point for any tech or leaders or organization. If you're moving towards a remote or a hybrid way of working, it's always good to have a very formalized, clear, documented remote work policies. And of course, you should take and consider the flexibilities within the working agreements. Flexibility is about more than what it's about what your colleagues needs it. So the input from your colleagues is very much important. So you need to understand what are their real needs when it comes to this kind of working mode. So that's the most important thing, to have a very flexible work agreements, which has been aligned by all the people. And also they should, I personally feel they should also focus on providing technical support if needed, to provide a well-equipped tools for a home office setup. And sometimes you might face the situations like when you're working in a remote locations, you might occur you don't have a stable network connections. So those are the things that often comes in when you work in a remote teams, challenges. So it's always good to provide a good technical support for the team members who have been involved in it. And yeah, so as mentioned, the most important thing is to know what the employees needed. So that's the most important factor of being flexible enough to have that such working agreements.
Just for interest, guys, sorry, what is the current standby of your team right now? Like, are you guys hybrid, in the office, remote? What do you guys currently do?
Personally, I have different situations. I have several projects under myself. Some of them are totally remote because people are all across Europe. This happens, we want to hire them, and we're working with them totally remote. But here in Stockholm, we have also a couple of teams. Most of them, I would say that they're hybrid. So I would even say that it's more like flexible. Sometimes I expect you, if we have some project gathering, to be here. And it's understandable, I think. But other days, people can choose if they want to commute or not. For me, Stockholm is quite a small city, and commuting is quite comfortable. So this is not a problem. Personally, I visit office every day because for me, it's better for mental health, for everything, for everything. Table tennis thing, it's cool also. But there are pros and cons. Of course, if we compare hybrid to remote, hybrid will win every time, just because it's more possibilities. It's just a fact. But we cannot get rid of remote. If it's possible to have it hybrid, you would prefer to have it hybrid, and you will plan it that way, that all the brainstorms, all these team meetings, everything will happen when everyone is in the office. Remote, yeah, people can do their job when remote. I have team members who just clearly say that, yeah, in at home I make more and work more productively and efficiently, but I come here and I grab new ideas. I'm refreshing. I have a new vision of everything, and it's cool. It's cool. So, but remote is also a way that we must support.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's a combination, I would say. With my consultant company, it's more of hybrid mode. But when it comes to my client, I'm being a part of four teams where each team is different, located in different countries. So I have team members connecting from China. I have team members connecting from America. I have good team members connecting from Belgium and India. And the most interesting part is I have a same project team members who are working from China and America in a same project. So I start my day with saying good morning to my Chinese colleague, and I end my day here saying good morning to my American colleagues. So the challenge here is, of course, the time zones. And that's where you have to be very clear enough with the flexibilities and having a clear working agreements. So we as a team, we came up with a different option so that every team members from different locations are connected at the right time. So we had proposed a good working agreements and the way of working. So that really helped when it comes to the remote work. And I agree to the point what you mentioned is, when you work together in person to person, you take most of the discussions person to person. But when it comes to remote work, most of the time you end up scheduling a meeting to discuss. So every time when you check your calendars, it's full of meetings. So there are times where these things can be discussed outside of the meetings. But since you are part of a remote team, you need there is an increased need of meetings to discuss and to work together. So that's one downfall I see when it comes to this remote work. And of course, it's up to the individuals to have a very perfect balance between their work life and the personal life. So that's something we have to make sure that you should keep track of your time boundaries when you're starting and when is your end time. So those things are to be considered when you work in such teams.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I know other people I've spoken to, they really struggle. They have teams in different time zones and they struggle as a manager with their teams overworking because they are trying to, you know, oh, I'll just stay up a bit later and do the extra work because this person I need to do this is online at this time. So then they end up working more hours and burning themselves out. Is there something that you guys do in your team to kind of help with that challenge?
I don't have it right now, but I used to have it in my past when part of my team was in India, but it wasn't such a big problem because India wasn't so far away in time zones. But the head office of our company was in Texas, and it's totally different. And what you can do, you can adapt. You schedule your daily work hours a little bit later, because you are a manager, you must communicate. I can't say to all my team members that you must stay late just because we have that team members. But I am as a manager, it's my duty. And on that side, in Texas, guys started the working day at 7 o'clock in the morning. So they had problems also. We all were all trying to be flexible and be and understanding, because it is what it is. But we should remember that these things with time zones also bring you some benefits. If you have like constant service, you have some kind of support thing, and your service must be online all the time. You don't need to have in your time zone someone sitting at the computer during the night and thinking, what if something falls? No, you have like ready to go team who will support you, who will pick the issue up, will fix it, and it's even better sometimes. But otherwise, of course, it's always a problem. It also could be a problem when you are in one time zone, but in other time zone isn't your team, but is your customer. And so that's why I said that it's additional things to handle for a manager, because you as a manager, you are that flexible tool that will handle all these, waves. Waves, yeah. It's just a job.
Nice. Well, in my case, I think I would say we had a flexibility that we were able to choose what really works for us. So what we did is we kind of discussed within ourselves, within the team, and we came up with some inputs from the team members, what works and what doesn't work. And that's where we try to align the schedules for different team meetings. And sometimes we created different meetings for different time zone people to join in, though it's sometimes repetitive, but it's good to be included, all the team members. And also we have proposed to use the communication channels very effectively. So considering the Microsoft Teams as the primary channels and having the email conversations as the secondary things. So those kind of things you can discuss with the teams. And most importantly, you should know what the team wants it. Rather than saying it, you should also ask and propose the suggestion. So it's up to the team to decide what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And of course, there are some flexibilities to be considered. And so those are my experience when it comes to working with different time zones. And also one thing we have also suggested is like when if the team member couldn't join, we also propose to record such important discussions and dialogue. So it's recorded and documented. So if a particular team member couldn't join and they can check to those recordings, and if I have some questions, they can answer it to it. So those kind of small team practices can enhances the overall productivity.
No, that's a really good suggestion. Actually, I'm definitely going to share this snippet of the clip to the person I know strictly with this, so then we can kind of keep talking. And in terms of any of your other questions, Anandia, is there anything else you'd like to talk about, or can we move over to that question?
I had a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you have any like tips for a perfect work-life balance that you follow, and if there is something you would like to share?
That's a tricky question because I was on remote, sometimes hybrid work for like 3 years since starting the COVID. And my greatest tips at the moment is going to office every day. But overall, I think everyone managed it already. Of course, you must establish and follow some routines. When do you start your work and when do you finish? It's extremely important. Like I close my notebook and I open my personal notebook. So it's very important because sometimes people, especially when they have some kind of imposter syndrome, they are like, I'm not doing enough. And instead of commuting is bad. It takes time and everything. But during commuting, you can read a book, you can listen to music. And it's a different thing. And here you just woke up, you're working, it even takes more time than usually. It's not good. So my idea is establishing some routine. You can even book it into your calendar that, I'm working here, but here I'm going for a run, for a quick run. I must, then I have shower, and then I'm back to work. And everyone in your team can look into your calendar and understand that he is not... So he can be accessed this time. It's okay. Why not? Also, it's always about the sports because people usually sit too much. Even commuting is some kind of physical activity. Here, we don't have it. It's bad. So, you need more discipline to handle and maintain this. People usually don't go out during this. Of course, it's not COVID anymore. You can go out and go for a walk, for a ride. Maybe why not? So the most important thing here is, I think some routines and you must follow it. It's just a rule. It's, something bad, really bad, always can happen, like priority one issue in production, and you must sit here and solve this issue, everything I had. But other than that, you are following your routine. It's my time for the work. I'm going for the work. Just guys, you knew it 2 weeks before that it will happen. It's happening. So if you are going to ignore it, it's some kind of disrespect that shouldn't happen in our team. So I'm just going. I'll be back. I'll be refreshed, and it will be better for everyone. And I think that as a manager, you must promote such things and or try to promote in your team as well, because there are different people. Some of them are really working hard, working too much. You shouldn't work too much because you will end up with burned out team. Yeah. Not specialists anymore, like burn downs. Yeah. So promote it somehow. Tell them that, yeah, I'm doing this. Why not? You can do this as well. You can't say that you must do it, but you can say it's totally okay. Go for a walk for during the day. Just do it. Why not? Such a beautiful sun, such a beautiful scenery. Just go. So I think it's the only way here, just to have this clearly distinguish what is personal and what if is your work. Yeah, I understand that for managers it's harder because, like, you are responsible for everything. But it's important also because you are an example, usually. Yeah. So just, do you have anything maybe for me as well?
Well, for me, as an individual, I think I'm someone who is very much keen about my work-life balance. So something which I do is, like, since I mentioned I'm more into journaling, so I kind of prepare my day, what my day looks like. So I kind of, before I start my day, also before I start my week, usually in my Sundays, I just go through my work schedules and just see how my work week look like. So I think the basic 5 minutes of preparation is good, and it's very important to set your boundaries, so your start time and your end time, and also clearly communicate within the team that, okay, this is my start time and this is my available time. And the one practice I do is I block my calendars for my lunch period. So I block it in my calendar so people know that whenever, if they need to schedule any meetings, they knew that it's occupied. So it's always important to block calendars if you feel that you need to spend some time for yourself. And the most important is the well-being. And as a leader, as a manager, it's very, very important to have a regular one-to-one check-ins with your teammates. It's good to align how they're doing it, and also good to encourage more after works, as we have here in Sweden, to have this after work and social interactions within the teammates. And I'm not sure if you heard about it, Gemma. In Sweden, we have this health wellness, which is provided by the employers. We usually take that health benefits to do any activities like massage, therapy, or for anything.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I think that's something we should use regularly. So I usually go for a good massage 2-3 months once. And yeah, those things, I make sure that I use that. So that's how I try to maintain a good balance. And always use your device well. If you have your work phone with you, always be particular with your time boundaries when you can send in reply to your emails. And so you always have a perfect balance between your personal life and your work life. Yeah, so those are some reflections from my perspective.
Yeah, my only one I would add here is, when you're in the office, it's amazing how much time you spend getting coffee, getting a glass of water, talking to people in the kitchen. Don't feel like when you're working from home and you don't have that time to go and do that, that means you can't do it. Make sure you're still spending those, like, 10-minute breaks away from the screen to just reset your eyes. I think that's the one thing I tend to find people missing when you work from home.
I think it's also good that we should also kind of initiate this virtual fika or the virtual break for the teammates once in a while. So they get to discuss the things apart from the work. So that's one way of motivating the social interactions between the teammates.
Definitely amazing. Well, no, I think you were a great summary of questions, and I think we've covered so much on the actual basis of working remote and the challenges and benefits that come with that. Definitely taking some new facts away. Vlad, if it's okay with you, let's move on to your question, which is a little bit more focused on the manager side of having remote teams. Having remote teams, sorry. Don't worry, do your question.
About efficiency?
Yes.
To be honest, this topic is a little bit cheating because efficiency is about everything. So we can talk about everything here. Yeah. My main point I would like to discuss here is would be the difference between a product-oriented team and, let's say, more like delivery teams. In first case, I would say this is a team product-oriented when you don't have anyone who will tell you what to do. You will have metrics that you should to pump up. This is literally your job. So you have to be creative, you have to deliver, and you're watching metrics. Edge case here is when you're doing literally nothing over the period, you just prepared some A-B tests, all your experiments lost, you did nothing, but your metrics are still up because all your competitors did something bad, and you're still happy. And delivery teams, usually it happens with external customers, or for example, in some big organizations, when there is someone who is telling you what he wants to get to achieve. So you have more straightforward approach here. You don't have so much room for creativity, and your job is like to deliver. Your main metrics will be here, like quality, time to market, budget, all this kind of stuff. And I think that depending on which kind of team you have here, of course, we don't have team one or team two. They don't exist. It's like opposites. You will be someone in between. And depending on where you can be, remote work will be will have different efficiency for you, and you will have to use different approaches how to handle it and how to understand your efficiency. Yeah, Nanda, if you have any experience to share with, I would like to listen.
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, it's a big, wider topic. I think the most important thing is like to understand on what basis the efficiency is being measured. So that's the most important thing. And considering this remote way of working and remote teams, it's always important. Yes, of course, efficiency matters, and we need the deliveries and the productivity of the team. But at the end of the day, what we are looking for it? We are looking for the quality, or we are looking for the delivery. So those kind of factors needs to be considered. When it comes to this efficiency, I think it's always good for a leader to have a regular check-in with the teams to align the team goals and the team vision and how they are progressing and what's there when it comes to their roadmap. And always good to have a dialogues to check if there is any need from the organization to support. And it's I believe the efficiency can be achieved both ways mutually. So it's not that just one way. So the organization just makes sure that they provide the necessary support, either trainings, technical support, or clear vision to those teams. And then, as mentioned, the most important thing is to have a very good working protocols and clear vision to move forward. So, yeah, it's a big topic. Efficiency can be measured in different perspectives. So it's always important to discuss and be flexible enough how they wanted it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think one of the most important tasks for the manager here will be to build, when we are talking about remote, to build some kind of rituals here. Because when it's on-site, that rituals will be built by themselves. People will connect with each other, they will build all the horizontal connections, and everything will work. It depends. Sometimes it will be more effective. Sometimes it will be less effective because all people are different. So all teams are different. And you as a manager are here to straighten this, to make it work. But here in remote teams, it's more important that you will build it and you will establish rules. How do we communicate? For example, I usually have a rule that when we are communicating remotely via Teams, we all have cameras on. That's a rule. That just happened. Everyone should follow it, and people shouldn't think all the time, should we turn it on, shouldn't we? No, it's from my perspective, from my experience, it's more effective than, okay, we should do it. We are doing it. That's good. You are also establishing which tools we are communicating. As you mentioned, we can have messengers, we can have even phone, email, everything. But protocols also. For example, I am writing you some question. What is appropriate time for you to respond to this? Everyone should understand and follow the same protocols here. And I, as a manager, must be the first following this protocol because everyone is equal. Everyone should follow the same. Yeah. The same about calls. What's appropriate time to schedule a call? And what time should I tell you before the call? For example, let's have an important meeting in half an hour. It's not appropriate. Usually, no one should do that. And all this kind of stuff, you're just building this just to compensate lack of horizontal connections between people. Because for those who are not so good in building such connections in the office, it will be even worse during the remote job. And of course, especially for product-oriented teams, it may lead to a huge drop of efficiency. You must maintain it. You must establish it. You should. And doing all of this, you shouldn't go into micromanagement phase.
It's a fine difference.
Yeah, so just stay in line. It's a very interesting way to work and very challenging, but benefits are also rewarding. So, yeah, we must do it somehow.
I also feel that it might be a challenging situation in a team for an organization when they onboard new employees. So when you're working in a remote team, I think the hiring process, when you're onboarding a new employee or new team member, the first most important thing is to have a trust that you're connecting with your teammates. So that kind of aspects should be considered when you are in a position. So it's always important that you try to come up with the strategies and protocols so that it is very beneficial during this onboarding and offboarding phases of your project work. So that's one aspect I believe that that the organization also have to look about it. Yeah. Any other question?
Any other kind of questions for you, Vlad, or any other questions from you, Nanda? No,
I think we pretty much had a very good, I would say it's a conversation, I would say, because it's good to reflect on different perspectives. And as mentioned, for me and for you also, I believe flexibility is the most important key thing when it comes to these remote working, and it should be aligned in all different levels. So, yeah, so it's a good conversation, good to know different perspectives.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I've learned some new things about different ways of working remote and different tactics to take. So thank you so much for both of your times. If anyone has any questions who's listening for any of our guests, please let us know and we can direct the questions to them. But thank you again for your questions and for your answers. It's been a really interesting conversation.